Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And once again, hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is October the 22nd. Remember, I shared with you earlier in the beginning of our first podcast in this month that this is the best month of the year because Paul and I were born in that month. So it's a part of it. And now we know for sure it is another, there's another reason why this month, the good month, because that's when Brother Paul, there he went to be with Jesus, and now he is staying in heaven. You can't be in a better situation than that. So, we will not, Paul. It is tomorrow my birthday, so we're not going to thank happy birthday to me because I'm coming
tomorrow.
Early, you know.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, you guys make me so happy. By the way, it's hard to sing in live stream because there's always delay. And
I know.
You think you're singing, you're not.
It's crazy. So that's why we're trying to sing and it sounds so weird.
It went okay. I like it. It went okay. You guys look like the intro. Orchestra, and I thank you so much. God bless you all, and hopefully the Lord will bless me, Paul, and Christy as we continue to serve Him in the next year until we sing happy birthday again. So Christy, her birthday is in February. That's right, Christy. I'm wrong.
No, you're wrong.
I can't remember when it was. March,
no.
April.
You know, how many months do you want me to let you guess? It's April. Yeah, you were right on. The first 3 months you guessed.
In May, really? Chris is not going to tell how old he is.
Oh, you want to know how old I am?
No.
I'll tell you. I gave the year. Listen, I gave the year, and then they thought that was my age. So I said, no, that's the year I was born. That's not my age. Anyway, pretty funny, huh?
Here in America, you don't ask ladies 3 questions.
You don't.
If they're pregnant or not.
Yes.
How heavy they are, or their birthday.
Hey, you can get along great now in America because you know those things.
Dangerous.
That is good. Anyway,
no. I can tell people. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Well, guess what? A friend of mine shared a story with me, and I really want to share it with you. I'm not sure if this is a good thing. Is this a bad thing? I have no idea. Anyway. He told me it's a good song, so hopefully he's right, because if not, then we have a problem, because I'm going to play not a good song. But it's something about California, so if you know the song, enjoy it.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I love it.
Come on, Alive.
I love that. I remember the Beach Boys. California was nicer then. But, hey, a lot of people from California have moved here. Seriously.
I'm sorry, what?
I said a lot of people from California have moved here to Mississippi. Also, people from Oregon and other places. In fact, we met a couple from Oregon, and they were telling us how, I'll say it nicely. Well, they didn't feel welcome because of racism in Oregon, and they said it's much better in Mississippi.
Yeah.
I wanted you all to know that.
Well, I have a nephew who lives in Washington State, and he does not like it either.
Yeah,
I'm going to go somewhere else because it's terrible.
I believe it. It's terrible. I know. But God's good, and hopefully we can hang on to some places in the United States that are worth living in. Yeah.
The problem is, if you are in a big ship and some water leaks into the ship from someplace, then that ship will end sinking.
So you have to get in one of the lifeboats, which may be some of the states that are more conservative.
You know, all day today, I'm praying for the midterm election.
Yeah.
And actually, the last week, I'm getting a little bit, I have like a knot in my chest, in my heart, in my gut. I feel something is going to go wrong. I don't know why. And I hope and I pray that we will count all the votes on that night, not weeks later.
That are
because
legitimate.
If the liberal will play the game, it will be literally 2020 once again.
Well, here's the thing, Usama. They want to count all the votes. It's just we want to count all the legal votes. And
exactly. The
problem is if anybody out there is watching the 2000 Mules, and Selection Code, and these films that have been put out and financed, a lot of them, through Mike Lindell, Frank Speech, OAN has shown 2000 Mules and also Selection Code. I'm telling you, there is information out there that should make every American very concerned to get involved, to be a poll watcher, to be someone that is going to report election fraud, because we know it's rampant, and it hasn't just been the Democrats. It's been Republicans, too. And we need to straighten it out here in America.
What is it, Christy? I cannot take out of my mind the videos I saw on TV where they cover the glass with paper, where they get the people out, when they take these bags, you know, the bags they take to the airport, from under the chair, from under the table, and they start running all this paper in the machine. None of these people was found guilty. None of these people is in prison.
They haven't been prosecuted.
Yeah. What I'm saying is,
I know.
They did it in my they spit on our face. They did it in our face. We got the evidence of it. I'm not talking about all the other stuff. I'm talking about that's what I saw by my own eye.
I did too.
And none of these people were found criminal or being guilty like a criminal and put in jail, so rot in jail. No, I am the bad guy. For me to talk about it in my own show right now, maybe they're going to take that video out. That's exactly what they're going to do.
You know, Usama, I saw a very interesting news clip, again, on Frank Speech, Lindell TV. If you don't have that, please get it. And in that speech, it was Brad Rassenberg, who is the Secretary of State in Georgia. And he came on there and he said they were showing the vote count. Trump was considerably ahead of Biden. He came on there and said, I don't see how anything's going to change tonight because Trump's lead is significantly higher than the number of votes yet to be counted. He said those words on MSNBC when they were talking to him. While he was saying that, in kind of in the middle of the next sentence, his picture and the sound of him, not the reporters, but of him, turned off. They said, it looks like we lost his signal. The next thing you know is a blank screen and you hear his voice saying, I'm getting phone blasted, you know, like phone bombed, like they say photo bombs. It means you're getting all kinds of things sent in to you. And he and no picture still. The next thing that he says, the screen's blank. They said, oh, we lost him. Then the screen comes back on, but you can't see his face. And you hear him say, well, we do have to wait until the rest of the votes come in. That is so, that is a critical, but what was he told? Was he threatened? You don't know. We don't know. But his words on there, I'm telling you, I wish I could tell you how to go watch it again. He said, not only did he say there weren't enough votes left for Trump to lose, but he also said all the Republican candidates down ballot were winning. And in the end, when they had to say Trump lost, all the Republican down ballots won except the presidency. How ridiculous is that?
Normally the president takes the team down,
yes.
Not the team take win and the president is not.
Yes.
It's a logic, it's a common sense.
Exactly. So there's so much evidence. It isn't just what you and I watched. Other people were watching MSNBC and saw that. And I guarantee you not too many conservatives, Republicans, were watching MSNBC. But a lot of people saw that. And I can tell you one thing I was thankful for. Young people by polls that have measured college students, those 18 to 25, they say the country's going the wrong direction. They say they are most worried about the economy and the inflation. Those are their top issues. Democrats are running on abortion and gender identity issues, and none of that rates with these college students. And I'm thankful for that. Keep praying that young people will be wise, that God has opened their eyes, because a lot of young people are really amazingly turning away from this ridiculous stuff.
I hope and I pray.
We'll keep praying.
Pray for the Paul. Pray for Paul.
I think I have yet to meet a Democrat lately that is excited about Biden, voting for Biden again. I've actually met several Democrats that are going to vote against Biden. If he ever runs. I don't think he has the mental capability to run. I think those people that are in the executive office need to be arrested for elder
abuse. Oh, well, not anymore, because Biden's twin is going to run. You can figure out what I'm saying there.
Some of the times I can't tell if it's him or somebody else.
Yeah.
I think it was funny this week that they did have a video posted on Twitter where he was being interviewed, and he just was gone. And they had to ask him again. Mr. Biden, or President Biden there, they had to ask him if he was still there, basically.
That was hilarious.
Like I said, the man was gone a long time ago.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the reason he was hiding in his basement in his house, because he was not there.
Yes.
Oh, I think he's in his basement now.
That's what I said.
And they're telling him that COVID is so bad he can't come out, and they can't have any meetings or they can't have any rallies. And, you know, all he's got to do is be watching a screen and think that it's current news, and it's not.
No. Let's pray.
Crazy.
Let's pray the Lord will turn this country around next 2 weeks, that more people will realize how dangerous it is. This Liberal Party is all about. It is actually taking the ship to the iceberg, that it will be damaged and the ship will sink. As a matter of fact, I was talking to the preacher. I'm going to be speaking in church here in Louisiana the next 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I said, if we could not win the midterm election, Senate and Congress, there is no hope. Even if Trump or somebody better than Trump went 2024, you cannot fix it.
No.
Like Titanic, which has the ice and it got damaged, and the water started going inside the Titanic, and it started nosing down. It literally went down like that. I don't care who you're going to bring to as a captain to that ship. It is under the water. It is impossible. It's over. Or as I said to my friend, Brother Jay, I said, Pastor Jay, here's the truth. If somebody have a little bit of bleeding, and you don't stop the bleeding, and it kept bleeding for 2 more hours or 4 more hours, even if you got the best doctor, he can't help him. Why? Because he died 5 or 10 minutes ago. When he died, it's dead. You're dead. So in reality, it's this. This country cannot go in that direction for 2 more years. If you have a little bit victory in the Congress, maybe when we 5, 10 seats, that would make the Democrats more bold. They think they got this. They are on the right track. These people are super stupid. They can last. And if they can keep the Senate or make it 50-50, for sure O'Biden will do 10 times worse than what he did in the previous 2 years, which means it's not going to be just simple bleeding. America will go under.
Well, Usama, I watched Trump's rally, and I want you to know he always is very upbeat about America, but the last 2 rallies that I watched and this one too, he said, if we do not have a fair election and win this election in the midterm, he did say it's over. And you know that that is not something he likes to say, but people, he did say, we need paper ballots, we need voter ID. The way in which the election was mishandled last time, we had opened every door for cheating, every door for election fraud in every avenue. And Usama, you know, because you told me to get on that panel that was talking about what they were going to do when the upcoming election happened if Trump won, or if Trump lost and denied that he lost, and what they were going to do. And I went on there and listened. It was an Antifa group, and I was on there listening to everything they said. And they were talking about how they were going to rip him out of the office if he did not say that he lost. And what they also did, the same people that were involved in that in an earlier session that Joe Altman was on, and that's why I went into it, they said, we guarantee we're going to make sure Trump did not win. So this was all planned out at least for the 2 years preceding the election that they would cheat and win. And who knows how many Republicans have cheated and won in the past. I don't believe Trump cheated to win in 2016 because they never believed he could win. They were sure Hillary was going to win because the fix was in. I'm sorry. That is not an exaggeration. We don't know how long the elections have been messed with.
Every time I see O'Biden speaking, I feel sick in my stomach that this is a criminal, a father of a criminal, a brother of a criminal, and he's in the White House, and he's a criminal. Not because he got money from China or Ukraine or Russia or all the garbage things he's doing to destroy this country from day one. From day one, he's signed executive order, one after another, for the purpose of destroying this country, militarily, economically, morally, I mean, name it. That's why he was there. From day one. He couldn't even wait for a week or a month and start doing the changes. No, he had to do everything which Mr. Trump did to make America great, and he had to do everything to make America weak.
Well, it wasn't just him. All this was laid out for him. Trust me, before he took the oath of office, all of those executive orders were laid out there for him to sign. And it wouldn't have mattered what they said. He signed them. And that was how they wanted him to do.
Here's the deal. You give Mr. O'Biden a quiz. What did you sign on day one when you he will not even get 2 of the 40-some or 30-something he signed on one day. He will not get 2 right.
I think he would say, Bill, what did I do?
So get a pen and sign and sign and sign. He didn't have a clue what did you sign. Like corrupt countries around the world.
So our adversaries are many, many that we do not know and we cannot name, but we do know one thing. Their goal is the same, and that is the destruction of our country. So are they our adversaries? Of course. And if they want the country destroyed, believe me, they also have no interest in seeing Christians or believers who believe in the Constitution. They don't want to see any of them around. And that's why they're saying everyone who, now they want to say if you wave an American flag, it's a hate sign, and that supporting the Constitution is an indication that you are a terrorist. I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
God help. Okay, well, let's move on. That's
Jesus is better, stronger, wiser, and can be trusted more. So we're good.
Amen. Paul, I know you have so much for us.
All right, so I have an interesting one for you. I just threw it out in the chat room there. This is an interesting article. It's called Kansas City Man Who Worked for DOD, Department of Defense, Lied About Contracts with ISIS Recruiters.
Yeah.
And this is in the American Military News. A Kansas City area man once employed under contract as a translator in Afghanistan for the U.S. Department of Defense is accused of lying about his contacts with two recruiters aligned with ISIS. That was responsible for the bombing of Kabul Airport in August of 2021, which killed 13 American service members. Mohammed Rafi Mohammadi was arrested Sunday in Kansas City as part of an investigation led by the FBI's field office. He faces one charge of U.S. District of Kansas of making false statements in reference to obtaining his security clearance, a crime that carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in federal prison. I say deport him. Forget that. Just deport him back to Afghanistan. Drop him off on an airplane.
No. They're gonna keep him here. Even the 5 years, he will not spend a year out of the FBI built, of course. And then he'll be running as a congressman next to Ham Homer. Trust me.
Well, technically, I don't know if he can run with a felony, but I'd be interested.
You mean that Ham Homer does not have any felony?
No, she does.
15 years in prison, brother.
She hasn't even been charged, which is disgusting.
Exactly what we need Mohammadi to run as a congressman to help Ilhan Omar and make a decision for the stupid America in the near future. So don't deport them. We need it. Go ahead.
Well,
go
ahead.
Before then, the FBI, according to the affidavit filed by the case, in the case by the FBI agent, Mohammadi thought that clearance for work as a contract linguist answered a question falsely on a federal form in 2019. Mohammadi denied ever associating with anyone involved in activities to further terrorism. Before then, FBI and federal prosecutors alleged Mohammadi sought to provide support for two people who were actively seeking to recruit and train members of ISIS-K, which is operating out of Afghanistan, for people who don't know. Investigators based their conclusion in part on a review of Mohammadi's public Facebook post. This says to me, how stupid do you have to be to approve this man? I mean, it's public. It's Facebook. It's open source.
The vetting of the 125,000, if that number is accurate, I did not count them. You did not count them. I guarantee you, Christie did not have time to go and check all the people coming to this country. They say 125,000. Of course, it's stupid to believe anything they say, because everything they have said to me in the last 30 years in this country was a lie, but that's okay. 125,000. The betting was zero. And the evidence resembled, many of these men came with their little children, or maybe three grandchildren. Surprise, they are their wives. They're sleeping with little girls in our apartment, by our tax money. We're feeding them with their wives, the little girl, men in 40s and 50s, sleeping with the 8 and 9 and 10 years old wives.
And it's testified to by military police.
So how in the world are you going to tell me that anything that garbage Democrats would tell us about Islam or Muslims or what else they're doing in this country to be accurate? Well, good luck. You have to be stupid Democrats to believe their lies. I'm not going to believe it. What's that thing? I said the perfect vetting for us to invite for any person to come to America who have a Muslim background is simply ask the question, are you a Muslim? Yes. You believe in the Quran and Muhammad? Yes. You can't come to America. And you cannot do that unless you are smart enough to learn the Quran something about Muhammad. For example, in Quran, Quran chapter 65, verse 4, you can marry another girl who did not have a period yet. You can have sex with her because she's your wife. And we know from Muhammad's sunnah that it's okay. Muhammad, the noble example, he married Aisha when he was 54 and she was 9 when he had sex with her. He married her when she was 6 and he was 51. That is Islam. That is Muhammad. That is the Quran. How in the world do you believe in somebody believing that garbage and you bring it to America? But if you're stupid enough, you know nothing about the Quran. You know nothing about Muhammad. And his name is Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. And he comes to America. I care less. What else do you know about this? You allow a Muslim to come to America? That makes you a stupid. That's it. I'm done. Go ahead.
Next article I have, I'll put it in the chat room. I have two pieces from this. One, I'm just going to read a bit from this. This is a Jihad Watch article written by, I think it's Robert Spencer or Christine Douglas Williams. I love her work. The article is entitled U.S. Law Waived to Allow Alien Engaged in Terror Activity from the Palestinians to Engage to allow in alien engaged in terror activity from the PLO. This part in here is the reason why I'm quoting from the from Jihad Watch. This is just kind of mind-numbing, considering the amount of articles I read during Obama's time that didn't allow this. So Biden has enabled Palestinian Jihad by restoring $235 million in aid to the Palestinians, which is a violation of federal law, by the way. The Palestinian leadership knows who their friends are. Last year, the Palestinian Authority called on Biden to cancel U.S. designation of the PLO as a terror organization and instead recognize it as a partner organized for peace. Just days ago, the Biden administration covered for Palestinian terrorists and let out a key detail about a beheaded young Palestinian man. Biden's ambassador to Israel, Thomas Nides, condemned the gruesome murder of Ahmad Abu Merkia, which took place in Hebron, a West Bank city, without mentioning that his killers were Palestinians, not Israelis, because the guy was gay.
There are no gay people in Muslim countries. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. It's because they killed them all. That was the Iranian president's explanation.
Most Muslim countries. But here's the thing. We are right now supporting the Taliban, not with millions, but with billions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the militants of Afghanistan. The Taliban are the reason why we went in war years and years. Because of that war, which started with Mr. George W. Bush, which I said, and Christy is a witness, I said that it is waste of blood and money. You don't fight Islam with bullets. You are fighting ideology. You don't fight Islam by killing Muslims, unless you want to kill the last Muslim, which means you're going to kill 1.7 billion Muslims. If you kill all the Muslims, then you can win the war with God. It is a spiritual warfare. It can only win spiritually. Bullets will not end the war against Islam or Muslims. 7,350 soldiers were killed in that war. Overseas, in America, 35,000 soldiers were killed in America. They're not killed by Muslims. They're not killed by some enemy. They killed by their own hands. As a result of that war, they commit suicide in America. So think about it. 35,000 in America, 7 plus overseas, huh? That is actually 42,000. And how this ended under this idiot, Biden? It's very simple. We made Taliban the greatest army in the modern jihadi world. We give them what it was, $85 or $90 million for free. For free. They don't have the money to buy it. They cannot buy it. They don't. There's no way for them to buy it. They got it as a gift from Uncle Biden. That stupid idiot, criminal, who's still in the White House right now as you and I talk. Unless he's right now somewhere in some ice cream store eating ice cream.
Well, you got anything else on that, Paul? Because I have a follow-up on that, too, which...
Go ahead.
Well, this story is going to have to be something you have to think and put together. A French cement giant, Lafarge, pleads guilty in U.S. court to paying millions to ISIS. They pled guilty in a federal court in New York for paying millions of dollars to the Islamic State and the Nusra Front to allow the company's business operations in northern Syria to continue amid the country's devastating civil war. Now, I'm reading an article from PBS, so you're going to hear these words where, you know, it's nothing about Islam, it's all about whatever. So they pled guilty, and they have a fine of $778 million in financial penalties because they were giving money to ISIS and to Lafarge. And as we know, they probably made that deal because that is how Muslims get financial benefits from United States companies and obviously from this French company. The story part you won't see, but that I did hear on Frank's speech with the story is that this company was formerly Hillary Clinton's employer, Lafarge. She worked for them before Bill Clinton was elected in 1992. And in 1992, Lafarge had been fined already $1.8 million by the Environmental Protection Agency because their cement was found to have toxins in it, and there had been people that apparently had been made sick by these toxins at their plant, which they operated in Alabama. So they were being fined by the EPA for toxins in the cement. Now, Hillary Clinton reduced their fine down to $600,000, the Clinton administration did, and this company gave millions to the Hillary Clinton Foundation. So, I mean, not Hillary Clinton Foundation, it's called the Clinton Foundation. So I'm just saying, here we have all of this stuff going on, and I promise you, your mainstream media will not say any of it. Even this article on NPR never mentions Hillary Clinton at all, where they just pled guilty to this. She is not mentioned in the story. I read the whole thing. Never a mention that she was involved with this company and what they did to reduce their fines. And now they're paying another huge fine. But this is how our political people get wealthy. It is that, you know, their salaries are set by law, but they get wealthy doing this kind of stuff.
It really is. If you investigate, I think, what's his name, Walter World. That guy did some investigation about someone suing them, and I'm shocked. It's supposed to be $300,000 a year. Say they're not going to spend a dime on anything. They're not going to eat, they're not going to drink. After five years, $300 times 5 is supposed to have what? $150,000. Well, guess what? They got $5 million, $150,000. How in the world do you make the million when the money you make does not even get to what? $500,000.
I know.
After 5 years or 10 years.
That's what I'm saying. And is the mainstream media covering this story at all? No, they are not, and they won't, because the media is part of this mix. You realize they make money in the same way, by not writing things that are politically unfavorable to those that are lobbying them. And when you say a lobbyist, let's be clear. A lobbyist is supposed to be somebody that goes and talks. But that's not what they do. They bribe. I'm sorry, they bribe. And because they bribe, they get their way. And you know, the Bible talks about this. They talk about how courts would be corrupted by bribery. And this is a horrible sin in God's eyes. But it isn't a sin on the part of an individual that is being the one who's a victim. This is when you're talking about the government and the court being corrupted. God sees this as a horrible national problem, and we need to start praying. You know, Trump was trying to put better judges in place in our court system on the federal level, but we have corruption in courts on the local level, on the state level, and on the national level that the president doesn't have any control over. But yeah, you know, we've got serious problems all the way, and lobbyists, politicians, for them to get wealthy, oh, the media wants their cut too. And that's why we have such corrupt media, I believe. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe they're all just reporting what they believe. But why do they believe it? Why don't they look at the truth? They don't investigate anything anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. Well, I know you have one more.
Okay. This one is from France. Giving the jihad, I like to give a direct link, but I'll tell you, you have to be a member of the site place I fight, so I'm not, and I'm just going to read it off the Jihad Watch site. This is a truly sad story. Jihad Watch started the article. In France, there is a continuing uproar over the torture, rape, and murder of 12-year-old Lola Daviet. By an Algerian woman. The suspect had boasted about selling body parts, one investigator told Le Parisien. The evidence suggested that the girl was taken into the basement of the flat, where she was tortured and raped before being strangled and having her throat cut. The woman had then stuffed her body into a suitcase and dragged it to the street. The murderer, who had arrived in France on a student visa, had stayed on after her visa expired and been ordered to leave the country, but she didn't do so. And what has enraged the country is the failure of the French state to enforce its own expulsion order. Fewer than 6% of those living in France illegally in 2021 were expelled. The rest simply continue to live illegally in France, some of them for many years, without the overworked police taking action. More on the story of Lola. This is from Gavin Mortar, his article in The Spectator on October 20th. France is in shock after the brutal killing of the 12-year-old girl in Paris last Friday. The details of how she met her death are too gruesome to describe, but the news that a 24-year-old woman has been charged with a crime has deepened the disbelief. The fact that the woman is Algerian national living in France illegally after her student visa expired. You think about that. They could have gotten rid of her before she killed someone, but they didn't. For years, the ruling class in France has rejected any link between immigration and crime. Oh, that's kind of stupid. But slowly, Omerta is cracking. Last week, a book was published by Didier Lallement. Until July, the chief of police in Paris, entitled The Necessary Order, the book is a damning indictment of the lawless epidemic in the capital, where one out of every two crimes are committed by a foreigner, often in an irregular situation. Paris, or at least some of the suburbs, have long had a reputation for disorder. What the French describe as lost territories of the Republic, so too has Marseille, where the year 28 people have been shot dead in drug-related killing. It goes on and on, but you know, it talks about no-go zones that are real.
Here's a question, Paul. Any of the French authorities will be punished for these crimes?
No.
It will continue to happen in a deeper level, in a larger number, without any hesitation. It's going to continue. It will never stop. Unless you put a French man or a French woman in jail, unless you put a Democrat congressman or senator in jail, and governor in jail, the crime in America will continue. Let me just say it again. Ilhan Omar supposed to spend 18 years in prison. They didn't even charge her with a crime. Yeah. She thinks she's going to lose in 2 weeks? Let me ask that question. She won the last election after everybody know that she's a criminal. Do you think Ilhan Omar is going to lose her fifth district in Minnesota in 2 weeks? I bet my life, no. Stop some conservative Republicans are going to be cheating and going to lose the seat unfairly. Buckingham Alma will continue to win in the 5th District in Minnesota. You make a bet?
Of course
I'm just saying. You make a bet? I never bet, but I will bet with anybody that this is the case. I'm not going to lose the money. Well, I do want to say
I saw a rally with the AOC.
Oh, I think they hate her. They are against her.
The
people who used to love her now hate her.
No, they don't like her. Yeah. They see her for what she is.
She's dancing like a prostitute.
Yeah. While they're making, they know she's doing nothing for them.
Is this a moral of a congresswoman?
Well,
dancing like a prostitute?
Why can't she go ahead,
take her clothes off, and do top dance? Which nude. It's the same.
Well, our problem is more than her dancing. Trust me. She couldn't dance her way out of this.
That's what it came down to, that she can't dance her way out, and she just made a fool of herself in public.
Yeah, exactly. There was nothing she could do.
You think she's going to lose?
I believe she will. After seeing that.
Elizabeth, she's going to win. The Democrat Party is immoral party, un-American party, anti-constitution party, anti-God party, anti-Jesus party. This country is going to go down. How's going to go down? By stupid Democrats who vote for these people, or by cheating. By cheating.
That's the only way she can win at this point.
They can cheat and win,
In two weeks, you're going to say, Usama, you were right, and I was not. We are not disagreeing with you.
I'm not. I'm saying the problem is not will people continue to support her. A lot of people, even Democrats, do not want to support some of these candidates. The problem is the cheating and the machines and the mail-in ballots that have been harvested and ballots that have been delivered to the wrong place, ballots that have been manufactured at the last minute, ready to go if their candidate's behind. It is that kind of stuff that's causing the problem. I think a lot of Americans' eyes are open to the problem. Well, Usama, you must talk to weird people, but I know the Democrats that even are very disturbed about what's going on, and many of them are not going to support the Democrat Party. I mean,
that's what I'm seeing. We're praying that they can overcome. If you want to help protect the system,
yeah,
work the election. Get involved.
Yes, I volunteered to do that, and here's what I'm going to tell you. You have this chance to override the cheating. Number one, vote in person. Number two, if you receive a ballot in the mail, do not open it. Carry it with you to your polling place to vote in person. And if they tell you you already voted, you notify the sheriff's department that you want to report an illegal election of voter fraud because you have not voted and they said you did. Those are the three things that you can do right now as an American citizen. Vote in person. Any valid ballot you receive in the mail, take it with you. Don't open it. And if they tell you you already voted, you notify the sheriff's department and file a complaint. So those are things we can do. And if people will try to do that, it will help. It will help.
I'm supposed to be traveling, but you know what? I'm not traveling. I'm going to stay home to vote on the voting day, and I'll see anything I can do to make sure we don't have the garbage happen in my small community in Missouri.
Well, aren't you in Missouri?
No, right now I'm in Louisiana.
But I think you live in, well, anyway, never mind. I know you're going to do the right thing. But I have another story that I want to tell you about. Real quickly, and it has to do with Islam, and I really think, Usama, you will have a lot to say about this, but I was watching a program. We watch some educational documentary thing probably once a night, and there was a program on there about Alexandria, and it was so fascinating. it talked about Alexander the Great coming into Egypt, what he did in order to become a ruler, and what he did to build the city of Alexandria, how they were building the library. And this was like all over the world, people were coming. You and I have talked about this historically, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent until the very end. And I don't think the woman who was speaking, she looked like maybe she was 30. I don't think she knows the truth. But I was blown away when the story was twisted at the very end to say that the reason Alexandria Library and all of the destruction that happened there was done by Christians. Can you believe that? And it was an excellent film until it got to that point, and I went, what on earth are they talking about?
You know what, Christy? I was just talking to the dear brother last night, Brother Matt. And I have video, Vicky has a video, and we can find the video. We're gonna have, now, I can destroy her. We're in front of the library, for example, when Vicky came to Egypt 29 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. And when Vicky came to the library, we went and we saw the new building, the library, and we had this two big map, one in Arabic, one in English, did it both match. But in the Arabic and in the English, the Mut made it says, some of the enemies of Egypt burned the library. And the Muslims try hard to stop the burning, but the
yes.
fire was so severe that nobody, some Muslims died in the fire, and no one could stop the burning of the fire. That is what is written in front of the library by the authority of the Egyptians who are building the new library of Alexandria.
Yeah.
And that woman who did that video is stupid and dumb.
But it was
worse than that.
Go ahead.
When we studied the true history of Islam, they went to the Prince Omar, Prince of Allah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Prince of the Believer. Yes? You ordered us to burn the library. There is in it, there is manuscript. There is some holy books. He said it is corrupted. It is not accurate. If it is accurate, we have it in our Quran. If it's not, burn it anyway. So I don't know.
And that's in our history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I believe Omar? Should I believe the propaganda they have in front of the library? Or should I believe the stupid genius?
Well, I'm trying to tell you.
Believe the Islamic history, that's fatal.
But I want to tell you. You saw me. You and I have talked about the story. You told me about the library. You told me about those signs years ago when we discussed it. What happened in this film, they literally said the destruction of Alexandria was done because of a priest who wanted this to happen. He started trying to destroy all this stuff. And then all the Christians, is what they were saying, came in to destroy the library and the city because of a woman who was educated. Now listen to this. This educated woman was not accepted by Christianity, so they slaughtered her in the street. I was sitting there with Roxanne, and I said, would Christians order educated women who are Christians to be slaughtered? I said, where is that taught in the Bible? And we both looked at each other, and I said, that is what Islam would do to this woman, not Christians. Christians did not kill this woman. And they did not destroy the library in Alexandria. But just like everything else, they want to change history. And people, be aware of this. Watch what your kids are learning in school, because I promise that woman is college educated. And that is what she was taught. She didn't learn that from the Muslims. She learned it from a history book that has been edited by Muslims. And your kids in America and in Europe and in Canada, you're all getting the same thing.
You have to understand, Christian in Egypt, 641, they will die to protect one manuscript. So the hundreds or the thousands of, this
yeah,
was one
sure.
of the second wonder of the world.
Exactly.
Christian in Egypt will die to protect the pyramids.
I know.
When the Muslim was trying to take the prince apart, they said, it's an idol. It's an idol. We take it down. The Egyptian leader said, who would die to protect the pyramid?
Yes.
Which is rock.
But here's the thing. Who went?
So one manuscript, and we're going to burn our own library by our own
And destroy the city? And here's the thing. This also happened in Syria. You and I know it. The Christians have been in Syria for 2,000 years, and they did not destroy the pagan monuments that were in Syria. Who came in and destroyed those monuments?
This is not the act of Christians. Christians don't destroy anything.
Yeah.
We don't burn a mosque. We don't burn a synagogue. We don't burn an idol worshiper. We don't do something.
Exactly.
Please. We don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. But more recently, in the last few years, when we had the Muslims coming in to those areas in Syria where Christians had been living with those things, they destroyed them. That is the work.
Yeah,
it's like destroying our monuments here in America.
They
it's the same thing.
All 2,000 years churches in the same town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
God helps. God helps. Anything else on the phone before we pick up the weekend?
No, that's fine right now.
Anything else, sister?
No. Just right. Pray for America and do your job as a patriot and a citizen of this country to support what's right and preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples wherever you go.
We're getting close to the end, guys. We're getting close to the end. In 2 weeks, I will tell you how far we can go with this ministry. Literally, in 2 weeks, after
we'll know.
I'm going to tell you, there's hope to continue on this for 2 more years, or maybe while we're doing the show after the midterm election, this sound goes and then not only just lock up the channel, maybe arrest me and arrest you, both of you, for doing that ministry.
You're not wrong. It's that dangerous. Yeah.
We know.
Let's pray. Lord, help us with this country. Help us. Give us victory, Lord, in midterm election. Not just a victory. I want a smoking victory. I want to make the Democrat shish kebab. Literally, 50, 60 seats in the Congress and at least 7, 8 seats in the Senate. Because as somebody said to me, to fix this country right, we need at least to win 12 seats. Why? I said, why? I mean, 5 seats will be good. And I said, no, because we got at least 6 or 7 right now in the Republican Party.
Correct.
They're going to vote with the Democrats, they're not going to stick together. You see, the Democrats, all of them stick together. They need 51 votes, they get the 50, and Kamala Harris is the number one. 51, and they got it. If we're 51, we're not going to win. If we're 52, we're not going to win. If we're 53, we're not going to win. You know why? Because there will be 5 or 6 garbage Republicans.
We know their names.
To vote with the Democrats.
We already know their names.
So God help. Quick break, we'll be right back.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation. Easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the Prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translator who translated the Quran to the English language hides many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the danger, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us. The Saturday Night Podcast. That's a 2 hour of every week, literally. We already lost an hour. We haven't even started talking about our study. But these are important information we'd love to share with you, and that's what we always do in our program, sometimes half hour, sometimes a whole hour, to cover some of the things which is happening around the world. And believe it or not, everything we share here in these articles, we have investigated, we know exactly, we don't have, what do you call this, misinformation or false information. They may say it is false information, but it is accurate, it is true. It doesn't matter what if something happened 1400 years ago when the Muslims on that wicked night when they burned the library of Alexandria 641 after Christ, or something happened just last night, or something happened today. These are factual information. We're not making up stuff. And if I'm not sure, as I have done with Christy in the past, I think that, are you sure this information is true? Well, you saw me, it seemed to be true. I said, no. We're not going to use something, it seems true. We have to know for sure if it's true. We have to investigate it. We learn the, know the source, because I don't want some garbage Democrat or some wicked woman to accuse me of spreading lies. We got enough dirt in Islam. We got enough garbage the liberals is doing in this country. I don't have to add a little bit dust to it. Just open and investigate. What they're doing, they're more the criminals. Is that Muslims or Democrats? So let's stick with the truth, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to teach and expose all what's happening around the world and here in America, especially from Muslims and Democrats alike. And by the way, when the Republican made a mistake, I spoke. You remember, Christy?
Oh, I do.
7 years. I spoke against George W. Bush. 7 years.
Yeah.
To the point that some Democrats like me because they thought I'm a Democrat. No, I voted for the idiot twice. 3 years later, after he lied to the American people, and he was there with his summer. Maybe Bush does not know. He knows that. Even until the last day. If you go right now and interview Mr. Bush in Texas, in his house in Texas, he would say, Islam is love, Islam is peace. Because he's a stupid liar. He hurt this country. It is because of George W. Bush who ended with war after Obama. It's because of George W. Bush, now we got Obama.
Yeah. You know,
I don't blame anybody else but that idiot, George W. Bush. And the rhino like him, which we have right now in our party. Anyway. Let's move on. Brother Paul, we talked in our last week in the slide about the claim of the Muslims. Let me first bring you the bar here. Get your Bible ready, brother. Get your Bible ready.
Okay.
The Bible. So, Chris, you have your Bible ready, too, if you want to share the screen. And we're going to go away. Actually, before I do that, let me open this. Let me open this. Let me go back here. Let me launch this one.
And we go here. I know I talk myself because if I don't talk myself, I don't know.
I understand.
The joys of sharing and streaming, and it takes a few minutes to push all the buttons, and that's part of why we talk to ourselves when we do that.
I don't know anything about computer. I know nothing about the telephone. I could not even use this one at my hand. The iPhone number 11 or 12, smartphone. I said smartphone in the hand of ignorant person is not good. Well, what do you guys do? I have no idea how I even turn my phone off sometimes. I mean, I know. Okay, here's a Muslim claim by the follower, Sister Christy. You can read somebody's point if you read the claim.
Let's let Christy read this one.
Okay. Muslims claim in the following parable, Jesus clearly approves of beating slaves, even if they didn't know they were doing anything wrong.
Can you imagine that? If you hear Muslims say, Jesus clearly approves of beating of slaves. First of all, Jesus never talked about slaves, you idiot. The slavery he is talking about here is not the slavery you have in your mind. I'm going to prove it to you by reading the scripture. Because slavery does not teach that the master serves the slaves. Did you hear what I said, Paul? Does slavery teach you're a slave owner now? You wash the feet of your slaves? You serve them? You fix them food? You cannot take a verse out of the Bible and ruin it and twist it and make it say whatever you want to say because we have the context. First of all, what did Luke say about Jesus? What did Jesus was talking about? Was he teaching truth or teaching parable? What did he mean by what he said? How did Luke and the rest of the disciples
understand? I'm just really fascinated by this claim because I can't imagine where they got it from.
I'll share with you. Now, what did Jesus mean by what he said? How people understood what Jesus said? How Christian, born-again Christian, practiced the Jesus teachings, which we read in Luke chapter
4. So I want to share with you a statement right here. It, Olivia Vivi said that statement contradicts itself.
And you know what? Wait until we get to this passage. Here's the passage. So obviously, here's what Muslims say. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. Go ahead, Christy, read this verse for me.
Oh, okay. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
That is the passage which Muslims love to use to say, here it is, you are beating people who did not do anything wrong or did not know what they're doing. What is this? Okay? Why Jesus approved beating of slaves? By the way, it is that idea that Jesus approved the beating of slaves. Jesus approved slavery. And Jesus allowed the master to beat the slaves even if they don't know what they're doing. That's exactly the mentality of the Muslim. Now, Brother Paul, you got your Bible already. Now I'm going to read not the second portion of the teaching, but the first one, what Jesus said. Because Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48 is actually taken from Luke chapter 12, beginning from verse 41 to 48. That is when Peter is asking Jesus, are you talking to me? Are you talking to us? Or you're talking to other people. So, in reality is this. Now, let's look together at the story from the beginning. You don't take verses out of the chapter and you make a doctrine out of it. Here's what Jesus said. So, Paul, if you don't mind, go to me to verse 35. That is the parable which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples. Okay? Of course, every time Jesus is speaking, the disciples are there, and other people are there. Jesus did not hold any secret meeting. Okay? Jesus did not hold any secret meeting. All the sermons what Jesus taught. It was in the presence of multitudes. He spoke it out loud. He did not whisper in Peter's ear or in John's ear or anybody's ear. He's speaking out. That's why even Peter in verse 41 is asking Jesus, are you talking to us? Are you talking to everybody? So obviously there was lots of people there. Hundreds, perhaps thousands. Okay? So now let's go to verse 55. Go ahead.
Okay. Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And do yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. And he shall come into the second watch, or come into the third watch, in the third watch, and find them. So blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But you therefore also, for the Son of Man, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour which you think not.
What are you talking about? That is a real parable. That is the Jesus teaching to everybody's listening to him. We're going to get to beat the portion a little bit later. The master is going to come. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back very soon to any one of us. Well, we've been talking about that, Mr. Christie, for the last 2,000 years. And Jesus has not came back. Yes, indeed. He came back to all those who died. And you may be one tonight. He came back to Brother Paul's daddy last Thursday. And he may come to me or any and every one of us for listening to my voice tonight. So it's not because Jesus does not come back to this world that means the people of this world have not met with him. It is written for man once to die after that there's judgment. So maybe Jesus will not come back for another 10,000 years, okay? But will you live another 10,000 years? No, I guarantee you, all of you who are listening to me right now, within the next 50 years, you're going to die. Unless you're a little boy. If you're a little boy right now, you're going to live a little bit longer. But all of us who are my age, 53, I'm not going to live to be 100. I'm not going to live to be 80. As a matter of fact, if the Muslim can get hold of me tomorrow, that's my last day. So the reality is, we're going to meet with our Lord. Be smart. Servant, not slave, those who work in the kingdom of Jesus Christ he is talking to. He's not talking about a master who just happened to be a white guy and got 20 black people work for him. And he's beating the daylight out of them. No. Did you listen to the verse what you read a little bit, Paul?
Verse 40 or?
No. Verse 57. Read for me 57. Blessed are those servants. Go ahead.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them.
Have you ever heard of a master? Have you ever heard of a master just put a rag around his waist and give the slave, come on here, yeah, you slave, you black slave, you, come on you, whatever slave, sit down, give me a piece, let me wash your feet. Let me fix your dinner. Let me fix your food. It is not slavery, you idiot. Because this never happened in any household of any master who owned his slaves. Matter of fact, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ did that in action. And the last day, the Lord Jesus took his robe off. He put a rag around his waist, and he got water, and he started washing his disciples' feet. And he dries them with the towel he had. Remember Peter?
It's not me.
You must wash my feet. No, you can wash all the people, not me. And he said, okay, Peter. I'm going to wash your feet. You have no part of my kingdom. If that's the case, then wash my head. Wash me all. Give me a shower. No, you are clean, Peter, because of my word. You already washed. Everything. I just want to wash your feet. Why? Because he, Jesus, which teach, who was he was teaching his disciples a lesson they will never forget. For the rest of their life, they will never forget. that Jesus washed their feet. You know, that's not parable. That's true action, which our Lord did. I could not understand it. I did not know even a jack about what he's doing until this happened to me. We were in Orlando, Florida. Bunch of Christians from the Middle East. Myself, Brother Peter Shadid, Brother Abu Rabia, Brother Riyad. I mean, we're a bunch of us. We went to the church. They want us to go to the service. And we went to the church. We're honored to be part of this American church. And then in the middle of the service, they asked us to go out the front and sit in the first pew. Maybe they're going to give us a gift or something. I don't know. So I moved from where I was sitting to the first pew. And then surprise, surprise, here's the water coming with buckets in front of each of us feet. They took our shoes off. Brother Paul, if you've never been to the service, it means nothing to you. That Jesus, what Jesus did and what Jesus is teaching you, it's not worth a jack to your mind. It will mean nothing to you. When these two ladies and a man took my shoes off, took my socks off, washed my feet, and dry my feet by the towel, I could not look at them. My heart was like, it is the most strange, weird feeling I have ever seen in my life. I will never see it again.
It breaks your heart when that happens.
Yeah,
it really, it just...
Brother, I cried.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I didn't even know why I was crying. It did not mean anything. I mean, I'd rather to put a bullet in my foot than to wash it. It was so unusual, humbling experience that they washed my feet. I could not look at them. I just closed my eyes and I cried and I prayed. Lord, I'm not worthy for that. Lord, these people should not wash my feet. I would do anything to stop them from washing my feet. And they dried my feet. If I see them today, I will not remember them. I could not look at them. God is not with it. After this happened, I could not. If the same lady still wanted me to shake my hand, I would not know what it was. I could not look. It's a very unique, humble experience. Who did this? God Almighty, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his disciples. And what he's telling us here is this. Remember, it's a parable. It is not the real thing. Is what Jesus did. Here is a parable, my atheist Muslim. You know nothing about this stupid Quran. Don't you dare interpret my Bible. Your dumb scholars do not know anything about the Quran. You guys interpret my Bible, the Holy Word of God.
They don't know the word parable.
You really lost it. You really that stupid. Yeah. As we know, we talked about that last week. The word parable is all over the Quran. And God's my witness, there's not one parable in the Quran. It's dumb sentences, not a full account, not a full story, not even a sentence to come up with an idea from. What's the parable? Jesus coming back. Jesus wants us to be ready. He said he will come like a thief. Amen. Can you imagine? The Lord Jesus Christ describing himself like a thief. Oh, Jesus is a thief. Yeah, he stole Muhammad's clothes or Muhammad's camel. No, Jesus stole nothing, you idiot. But he said he will come like a thief. Well, do you think the thief will make a phone call to you, Brother Paul? He will go, phone number. Hey, Brother Paul, it is Mark Smith. I'm coming to your house around 12:05, 12:06 tonight. Do you think a thief will call to let the people who own a house what time he's coming? No, that is the idea. Jesus is coming as a thief, and he could come anytime. And naturally, if we know when the thief is coming, we'll be ready to stop him from stealing our home. But since we do not know, we better be awake, because the thief could come anytime. Live right before God. Live right as a Christian. Live in obedience to our Lord and our Savior Christ and his commands. Live right, because you don't know when you're going to die. You may die tonight. You may die 10 years from now. Or Jesus may come back tonight. But we don't know. That is the idea of the passage. It is not slavery, you useful idiot, dumb Muslims. You know nothing about our Bible. Stop interpreting our Bible. Please, do yourself a favor. Read Christian theologian interpretation. As we do, we will read your stupid Quran. We read Ibn Kathir, and all of them are dumb. I call them dumbers in my book. Even as I said before,
My editors told me, Usama, there's no word dhammas in English. I said, it is. I already put it in. You just need to add it to your dictionary. Okay? So they're not smart. If your scholars are stupid enough because they don't know what they're talking about, which when you give you pen opinion about the same verse, and Allah knows this. Yeah, that makes you read a scholar, isn't it? Read Christian theologian interpretation so you understand what the scripture is talking about. So, it is not. It is not slavery in any way, shape, or form. Or you can tell me, where did you hear about a master who served the slave? Okay, now, let's go to Peter's question. Which is verse 41. Brother Paul?
And Peter said unto him,
yeah.
Lord, do you speak this parable unto us, even to all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? He gives them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has.
It's just like, let's stop here for a minute.
Wait a minute, we're talking about slaves, and the slaves are going to be rulers?
Hey, that white guy, the rich guy, he has slaves in his house, and somehow he's going to make the slaves the owner of everything. Wow, that's a really, really, now I know how Muslims read the Bible. Maybe Muslims stop reading completely will be good for them. Because if they are that stupid and do not know how to read Jesus' teaching, it will be wiser, it will be better if they just zap their eyes, don't read anymore. Exactly. When did we hear the slaves rule over the house of the Lord? Have you ever seen that in the history of humanity? God help me. 45,
brother. Over. And, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maids, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken.
Why Muslims do not read verse 45, Paul? Can you give me a reason? Why are you talking about verse 47 and 48 and skip 45? Do you think there's any reason at all? Maybe we have.
Well, they don't want you to have a reason to be punished.
I just want to beat my slave for no reason.
That's the way Allah acts, though. He likes no reason. He just likes torture.
They're trying to compare Jesus to Allah as Allah was to Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This can work with Allah in the Quran. This can work with Muhammad in the Hadith and his Sunnah, how Muhammad is. But that does not fit with the Bible. Because you cannot read a verse in the Bible out of the context. So far, I proved to you, my dear Muslim friends, that you're dumb, following the dumbest ideas of your prophet and your messenger and your interpreters, your scholars. And that does not work in the Bible. The Bible is a little bit different story. Why? Because there's spiritual truth here. What did the master put these people in charge of his kingdom? He gives them all the things they need to live right. And what did this guy say? The guy is not coming today. As a matter of fact, he's not coming this week. You know what? I believe he's not coming this year. So I'm going to just journalize. What are you going to do? Once again, he said in his heart, my master's not coming. It will be slow. So he starts beating the men and the young lady. He starts eating and drinking. He becomes drunk. Wow. Do you know what, Paul? Every person who heard the gospel message and delayed to live right before the master who shed his blood for us are resting that verse 45 of Luke chapter 12. Every one of us, when we do the things we want to do, those are things which the master, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ do, when we say, you know what? Enjoy life. Today and tomorrow I'm going to have fun. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to beat people. I'm going to treat people unjustly. I'm not going to do anything right according to scripture. Because Jesus is not coming for at least a few more years. Is this not logical, Paul? Is this not logical, Christy? Is that not what many people do?
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways that they mistreat others that go beyond beating, cheating, stealing, lying.
Oh.
All those
exactly. Exactly. So Paul, now we read verse 46. We know what that servant did. Everything wrong, okay? He didn't do anything right. He did everything wrong. What do you think that master would do? And I'm not talking about master and slave. It is Christ and us human. Okay? 46, brother.
46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And
When the master does this, is this fair or unfair?
You know what I tell pastors, especially youth pastors, I want you to go to the high schools. I want you to go to the high schools and just show up randomly to see the kids. I tell it to parents. Go there and see what your kids are doing in the high schools. Why? Because you find out what they're really like.
It'll break your heart.
It does.
I cannot imagine a mom go to school, because I spoke in this school. A mom go to school to check on her daughter and she's kissing with some guy. Or they're acting so ungodly, yelling in class. I spoke in some classes. I literally got upset to the point I yelled at the students because the teacher could not make them quiet. I said, shame on you. You embarrass your teacher and you embarrass me as a guest to speak in your class. I was supposed to come to talk to you about Egypt and the pyramids and the things of my culture. And what I've seen in this class is nothing but literally savage way of life. You have no respect. What do you think I think of you? Where you come from? Where you were born? Do you have any parents? Did anybody discipline you in your life that a teacher would take 5 or 10 minutes to calm you down so I can speak for 15 minutes and leave the classroom? I've seen this in my life. And I cannot imagine, like you said, for some of the kids, what they do, like, God help me, God help me. But a surprise visit will bring the reality to these parents and to the youth minister about what these kids are doing in the school. Yeah. You're right, Paul. You're right. So anyway, let's verse 47.
And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So it doesn't sound like they were very obedient.
It's not like, you know what? Verse 47. First of all, there's a logical system, a logical law, a just law in the Bible. The more you know, the more you'll be judged if you do wrong. It's a fact. I wish we had this fact in some court of law. But you cannot examine your heart, but Jesus Christ can examine your heart. So if I'm traveling the road and the speed limit is 65, and I'm going 65, and one sign, I missed that one sign, because I didn't see it, was the speed limit drop from 65 to 45. And I'm going 65, and here's the police coming from behind me, red and blue, and I stop. What, your speed? Sir, I was not speeding, I was going 65. Or the speed limit just dropped here in the corner to 45. I'm sorry, officer, I did not see the sign. And God is my witness, I did not see the sign, I did not know. Sometimes, officer, a wonderful viewer says, sir, slow down, and he gives me warning. Sometimes, but most times, they're going to nail you with a ticket. God does not have the eyes sometimes, because he gets what? He knows everything. He knows what we know and what we do not know. And in his justice, the more you know, the more you'll be judged. So that is the just system. And you can understand that, why did he not know? No. That's not a policeman you're going to be fool. No. God knows our heart. God knows our thoughts. God can read even what is in our mind. I'm talking about the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As you see throughout the scripture. How many times in the Bible, he knows what Simon is saying in his heart. You see, that lady, she's a prostitute. A simple woman. And she came behind Jesus and she was crying. She washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, kissed them. And what did Simon say out loud? No, no, no. It was not out loud. It was in his mind.
This is a really a good Messiah or a good teacher. He could know what's going to happen such him.
Yes, that's what he said in his mind. And what did Jesus say? Jesus looked at, hey, Simon, I know what kind of woman is this. Oh, my world. Can you imagine that? Jesus can read the mind of Simon, and Jesus can read the mind of everyone, including you and I. And he knows how much we know, and he will judge us according to how much we know. Fair, just judgment. That slave here, the master, the servant here, who worked for the master, who did everything wrong, and we skipped verse 45, or we skipped verse 46, and we're going to go to verse 47, and once again, you could not do this to the Bible. You can do this to the Quran, because many of the verses in the Quran are not attached to the previous verse, every verse by itself. And I can give you a million examples. You can skip a half of the chapter of the Quran and read the following verse, and that verse has nothing to do with the half of the chapter.
Yeah.
In the Bible, you can't do that. You can't do that.
That's right.
Verse 48.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, that's quite a statement right there by itself.
I do.
Shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more.
The justice system of God. Allah, Allah, when people say, you know, judges are not fair. God is a just judge. Thank God, he is the one. Thank God that Jesus Christ is the one who will judge the living and the dead. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. We cannot lie to him, we cannot deceive him, and he will treat everybody and he will judge everybody fairly. Once again, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, what we read in Luke chapter 12, beginning from verse, let me give the number again so somebody can go back and check.
51, I believe.
Beginning from verse, here we go, 55. From 35 to 48 is one passage. You cannot jump verses out of it. It is not a black slave owned by a white guy, because no white guy ever served black slaves. It's not slavery. That passage has nothing to do with slavery. That passage about Jesus Christ, and we are his servant. May the Lord Jesus Christ find us faithful when he comes to take us home, or if he take us to him earlier. He's so merciful. He forgave me for many sins. If I would treat you somewhat justly, I would send them to hell, 100%. But Jesus did die on the cross. He paid for my sin. Otherwise, I did not need Jesus' forgiveness for my sin. No, I needed every forgiveness of every sin I have committed. But that is the master. That's what he did. He died on the cross for me, his servant. No white folks ever died for this slave servant. It's not slavery. It is Christ and us. And once again, I pray that when the Lord Jesus takes me home or comes to get us all out of here, he will find me faithful. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness of my sin because of my good works. No. Because of his salvation, which he offered for me on the cross. That's why I do not want to do that session in our last Saturday program, because I could not serve the Christ. You just read a couple of verses and respond to it and say, it's a parable. No, it's not a parable. Read the Bible. 55, Luke 12, 55 to 48. Anybody with logical common sense, when you read these verses, you will come to the conclusion, which is, once again, this has nothing to do with slavery, you idiots. All right. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
There are many abolitionists who fought against slavery in America, like John Brown, Dr. David Nelson, and Harriet Beecher Stowe. And there were thousands of white Americans who died in the Civil War for the cause of freedom.
You know, this is amazing. When you study Islam and the history of Islam up to today, you will never name for me a name of one person who fought slavery. Because if you fought slavery, as we're going to see in this verse study, if you go against slavery, you're going against the word of Allah of the Quran. You're going against the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. You're going against the Sunnah of Muhammad. Muhammad, the owner of slaves. Slavery is always there, and slavery will never leave the Muslim world. As a matter of fact, the day is coming, and America will be serving the Muslims as slaves. Do you sound as crazy? Do you sound as not? Trust me. When the Muslim will have the upper hand in America, there will be the masters. And they know it, and I know it. And every person in America, white, black, orange, yellow, will be slaves for the Muslims. The slavery of Allah in the Quran will continue until Christ comes back. It will never stop. But I never heard or read anywhere in the history of Islam, as I studied and I heard and I read hundreds of books, that somebody by the name Muhammad Ali or Mustafa Hussein or Ali Hamada or anything died for freeing one slave. Not one person died for free slaves. We're talking about thousands of Americans, thousands of white Americans who died for the freedom of the slave of America, which, by the way, no longer exists. And know that O'Biden and Obama and all the garbage Democrats and all the garbage media are trying to bring the fire again. Let's get rid of this statue. Let's get rid of this leader. Let's rename the school. Let's rename the street. Let's do this. Why? Because they are trying to. It's like there's no fire. But they're trying to start a match. Start a fire. Burn America. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to burn America. Divide America again, once again, after slavery ended for hundreds of years. Because they hate America. They will not acknowledge the liberal media and the Democrats that when there was slavery in America, it was they, the Democrats, who wanted slavery, and the Republicans wanted so badly to end it. I guarantee you, these thousands who died, the Americans who died, they were Christians, not only Christians, they were conservatives. They were not the KKK. KKK is Democrat, you stupid black. And every time when some white conservative Republican is trying to give rights and more rights and more rights for the black in America, it was the Democrats who are against it. But somehow, we live in the end of time, as the scripture says. The things will be turned up and down. The evil is called good and the good is called evil. So Republicans are bad and Democrats are good. Why? Because they kept you black people slave until today by putting you in your welfare system in this country. Let me keep feeding you. Vote for me, you stupid black. Let me put you in a housing for free. Vote for me, you stupid black. Let me give you another fish because you're hungry. Vote for me, you stupid black. And they got exactly what they said they would do. As some president, I don't know what his name is, said, I will make this Negro vote for me.
That's Johnson, Lyndon Johnson. Osama, while you're on this topic, do you consider yourself white or black?
I'm black.
Okay. Just want to make sure that people understand that.
You know what? One time I was doing a radio show in North Carolina, and I was speaking against Obama. And the man came to the state. He was on the phone, of course, and he mocked me and he trashed me as a white garbage white. This, and the guy I'm doing the show with, I said, let him finish. And after he finished, I said, do you know who you're talking to, you idiot? I'm not white. I don't have any white. Inch of white in my family history. I came from Egypt. My father's Egyptian. My mother's Egyptian. We're all Egyptian all the way to Ham, the son, to Mashiach, the son of Ham, the son of Noah. I came from black. My heritage is black. My heritage is Egyptian. I was not born in America. I know nothing about white. No white in my family, period. We are the children of Mashiach, who to Joseph's account, who is the son of Ham, the son of Noah. We are the black people. And I'm proud to be black. Okay? So, just amazing when people jump on me because they hear me on the radio and they think I'm white. I'm not white, idiot.
Anyway, so the problem is we got everything backwards. The evil Republicans are good. The evil Democrats are good now, and the Republicans who did what is right for the black, for all the heads of this country, for the last 300 years. Now, these are the bad ones. So keep voting Democrat, yeah? Keep voting Democrat because they got you chained from your neck. I'm not kidding. Who is the lady who starts with abortion? What's her name? That idiot white racist woman. Brent, do you know what
we're mean? Both having this problem. Just
Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger.
She was a racist woman.
Yes, she was.
She hated black. She wanted to kill black babies. They make abortion legally so they can kill black. And guess what? They've been killing black every year. I mean, literally, the 20% black live in America, and the number of babies aborted in our abortion clinic are 80% black.
Yeah.
Well, it works so good. And guess who is this garbage or black congresswoman Democrat and governor garbage Democrat black? They're black. They are for abortion. They want to kill more of their own babies. What a stupid idiot Democrat. And they're black.
You know,
love it. Black Lives Matter. I say Black Lives Matter when you stop the killing of black babies in our abortion clinic.
Yeah, and they do nothing about the criminal activity going on in the cities where black on black crime is so high, and then they turn around and pull the police departments out, which the community wants there because they're living in a nightmare with the criminal activity.
You know who suffers the most in all the Black Lives Matter work?
The black community.
What a stupid black community.
Yeah.
Go and burn their own
community.
You
guys,
their own businesses.
You cannot say the word. You cannot. Both of you say stupid black. I say stupid black. They are stupid for allowing some garbage black to start the Black Lives Matter. And sadly, believe it or not, that Black Lives Matter right now is in my Southern Baptist denomination.
I know.
They're taking churches right now all over this country. What a stupid Southern Baptist believer.
Yeah. The,
I
was just going to say, Black Lives Matter, the women who started that are, by their own admission, communists and witches. I mean, what is this? The black, they're communists and witches. And then, I do want to point out something. Hillary Clinton admired Congressman Byrd, who had been admitted a grand wizard in the Ku Klux Klan. Hillary Clinton talked about how he was so wonderful. And people don't get it.
How about the senator, which Biden was whispered his ear one day, is one of the senators who's also a KKK. Is he the same guy?
I don't know. I don't know what when that happened.
Oh, Biden is a KKK member. I don't know the name.
I know what you're saying.
He died.
Robert Byrd is the one that was the grand wizard in the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah,
the congressman. That might have been him. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reality is this. The Democrats are the racist.
Well, the KKK was the military arm of the Democratic Party. There's no question about it.
And the Democrats stood against the black when they were looking for the right to vote or to own houses or. And that is where the black, until today, majority black, 80-90% are voting for. What a stupid black.
Well,
this
is also destroying the family. When you destroy the family, and the welfare system was designed to cause single mothers with children to become the wives of the government without husbands or fathers to their kids. That is what they did to the black family, which was a very strong Christian influence in our country. They destroyed it.
Let me show you some facts. 30 years ago, or 31 years ago I came to this country. 30 years ago. Yeah, it's 30 years ago. And my wife got sick. So we went to Mary Washington Hospital in Virginia. She was there for 3 days. And the hospital bill was $4,000 or $3,000. And we were both involved in a ministry. It's called The Covenant Place. And I make a salary $25 a week, and she make a salary $80 a week because she's been, or $100 a week because she's been in the ministry 14 years before me. And that's not a salary. It's just the money they give to you to buy ice cream or toothpaste or something like that. But the ministry takes care of all that. So we start paying our bill, and after 6 months, surprise, surprise, the $3,400 became $4,500. I don't understand. And then, by the time we moved to North Carolina, it was now in the 6,000 because I found out that the hospital finds some group to pay the bill off, which they call them collector agency, whatever you call them.
Yeah, collection agency.
Okay. And they were charging us, I believe, 18% interest. So I was paying $100, but the interest was higher than what I'm paying. The number kept going up. So some of my friends, Egyptian and Lebanese and Assyrian, and Iraqi and Moroccan, they met with me in Florida and they said, Usama, you need to sign up for that help, government help, because you will not be able to make that money. You're going to be in trouble financially. I don't own a house. I never rent. I was in a ministry and I left and they were giving me this advice. And I said, itch not. You know what itch here? It's not heaven. It's another itch. I will not take help from the government of America. I'm going to work by my boss hands, and I'm going to be rich. So what? I owe $6,000. I'm going to make $60,000. I'm going to make $160,000. I'm going to be rich by these two hands. Lord is willing, I'm going to pay my bills. I pay my bill in less than a year. I own my first house in the following year, and then I build my second house literally 3 years later, 4 years later. And I work as a contractor, and the Lord blessed me financially. I choose not to take a dime or a nickel from the stupid government of the United States of America. I'm a taxpayer for the last 30 years since I came to this country. Even when I was making $28 or $30 a month through the covenant plan, they were taking some money out of it to pay my Social Security and my taxation, which was like, I really didn't pay taxes because I was not making enough money to pay taxes. But I am a taxpayer all the years of my life. And I was there thinking, I am proud to say, I did not take a dime out of the government of the United States of America the last 30 years. And today, I am more blessed financially than most people. Now, I have another story to share with you. I know two sisters who came to this country. One chose to work, and the other one went to welfare. The one went on welfare. 10 years later, she had nothing. The sister who worked hard, she and her husband, they owned two homes, paid in full. That is the difference between stupid black who choose to take one fish every day to eat from Uncle Sam and the hard-working people who came from the foreign country in Egypt or Syria or some of these foreign countries, and they work hard. You work hard to be rich. You be a free man. You don't need anybody to help you. You reach your hand to people and beg for money, or even stupid Uncle Sam, you're a slave to them. And trust me, this country will never be fixed, because we got enough people in the welfare system. And sadly, very important part of the socialist and communist agenda is to get rid of middle-class people, which means more people will go to welfare, more people will be poor. And that's exactly, I figured out how the Democrats are going to take over this country, and that's exactly, I figured out how America will be destroyed. It will be Venezuela very soon. Just go ahead, Democrats. Cheat in the midterm election 2022 and cheat in 2024 and around 26, 27, America will be the great state of Venezuela.
Hey, you sound like Trump's speech tonight. He said the same thing.
I did not know what he said.
But he said the same thing tonight. Yeah.
I'm not going to go into the rest of this presentation because, believe it or not, the next one is going to be something. We're not going to have time to cover this. That is the first one. So, Lord is willing, I can look here and tell you exactly what is coming next. What's coming next is, yes, the Muslim slave trade, the Muslim slave trade, which is a historical perspective. That is what I compare slavery in the West to slavery in Islam. It will blow your mind. It will blow your mind to learn some facts about slavery in the West and slavery in Islam, okay? So that is exactly what we'll be talking about next program. So Sister Christy, your father, will remind me, we're going to go through 68.
68,
yes, sir. Which, by the way, we're halfway in our presentation right now. Hopefully, we're going to go a lot faster in the future.
Well,
that was the
past.
It was good to have all that clarified. Well done.
I think it was important.
You got to dispel the myths.
Yeah,
you
got to
get rid of the myths so everybody can learn.
Yeah, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, I love black people. They are my people. But I feel sorry for them. Because they're stupid. And by the way, there are plenty of black conservatives who will agree with me 100%.
Yes.
I love my color skin. Real black. Real black. They agree with me 100% that they know that the Democrat black are stupid. You are no more or less than stupid.
Well,
they call them useful idiots, and that's the
thing. Useful idiot or stupid. Or you know what? How about we call them stupid, useful idiots? That would be a perfect.
But you know, the truth is,
black before Democrat.
The truth is, today I took a class on, it's called Pistols and Purses. It's gun education for women, and several of us went. It was very awesome. And the man who was there, him and his wife, he's black, and he's conservative. And his wife is white, and we had a wonderful time. They are great friends. We just had an awesome discussion about weapons and why our Second Amendment is important. They're both retired military, and it was just an awesome day. So there are a lot of people in the black community who realize that they have been manipulated into believing that their lot in life to be on welfare and to be in the Democrat Party, and this is what has been drilled into their heads that they cannot make it. It is the worst form of racism. It's called the low expectations. Oh, we have to help them because they can't make it without our help. And when you say that so much, that people begin to believe it. And so then they're thinking that their options are so limited. And that is the worst kind of slavery in your mind.
You know, every time I hear the Democrats say, my people cannot vote because they don't have a driver license, an ID. Are you calling all my people stupid? We all have driver license. It's stupid.
I know.
Our time is up.
All right. Well, we're now, ready.
Paul, you get 10 seconds. Quickly. What do you want to say about it?
Make a choice. When you hear all this, I think it's important to take it all in and check out what we're saying. If it's true, find out. Don't just accept it. Find out.
Last 5 seconds for you, Chris.
God bless you all, and we thank you.
Appreciate you all. God bless you all. We're going to take this last 10 minutes here to share the gospel with you. If we have any questions after the video is over, we can talk for another hour. I can hold Christy and Paul here for another hour. But God bless you. This is just in our video program. Here we go.
I apologize to you who are listening on Blog Talk Radio. I am going to play this video, but I have to pull it up separately because it is not picking up. So here we go.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. When I went to university, there would be people who would ask me, you're a Christian? Yes. Your parents were Christians? Yes. Ah, that explains it. You're a Christian because your parents were Christians. If they were Hindus or Muslims or Buddhists, that's what you'd be. But that's not really the question, you know. The question is, if I were able to line up all the belief systems in the world and prod them and poke them and turn them on and try them out, then what would I be? One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets in Oakland, California. And as he preached, a passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, sir, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. There are many like them, you know. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said he was going to be betrayed. And you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, again, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. You arrange the town you're born in. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has...
He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall into the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. When you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know? Maybe they're going to get in. If God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior. And you can't save yourself. Read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is this wonderful truth. The truth of the sin.